This show is for educational purposes only. You should consult your own advisor and conduct your own due diligence to analyze your specific situation.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome back here. Joe Soto here, your host with the Joe Soto Project, The Wealth Rebirth. And today's topic is, what is your bias? What is your bias? And, you know, I wanted to talk about this because, you know, one of the things is that people hire financial planners or financial advisors for. This is what people tell me, right? It's to reduce their level of bias. And I think the first thing is we need to come to the realization that we are all biased, whether we like it or not. And I'm going to tell you, as a financial advisor, that I am biased. Okay. I have my own biases in terms of how I look at the world and how I see things play out. And I'm very well aware of this. Right. So, I think a lot of times when people don't know what their biases are, when people don't know, what are their beliefs. I mean, the thing about biases is that a lot of times we can't see them. We don't know we're being biased. These are like the worst type of biases, right? Like sometimes we know that we're biased and many of times we don't. We have no idea that we're actually being biased. And when we have biases, you know, it's very difficult to actually leverage the help of other people. It's also very difficult to make good financial decisions. It could cost you a lot of money when you make decisions, whether you know your biases or not. You know, in investing, biases can manifest in many different forms. Okay, and this is why this topic is important. First step is we need to recognize that all biases, right? The first step is we need to recognize that we are all biased. Like just the first thing that we need to be aware of, right? I recognize that I am biased, and this is the reason why I pay out of my own pocket for independent research, not associated with Wall Street. Now, why do I do this? Because I believe that a lot of the research that comes out of Wall Street is biased. It's biased. They have an invested interest many a times to keep people invested in a certain way, and in their models, and a lot of times, they have an agenda. You know, they have an agenda. I mean, look, I was listening the other day to Jamie Dimon. You know, he was talking about the recession and the current times that we're living in. I mean, you can look this up yourself. I mean, he was being incredibly pessimistic, which it was kind of like depressing, like his perspective on the economy, how he saw the world. And then on the other end, you know, the economist who worked for the asset management side of things, he was saying that, oh, you know, recession's already priced in, you know, don't worry about it. We should be fine. So it's like, okay, wait a minute. How do two people from the same company, CEO and one of their chief economists, defer their opinions in such a way? And I believe because Wall Street in many ways has their own biases. And as a financial advisor, I'll tell you like this, right? When I go in and I'm doing research on behalf of clients, right? I'm already assuming that I have a bias. Like I've already priced it in. Like I just assume that I am biased, right? And this assumption, what it does is it puts me in a position where like I question my own judgments, right? And then in this way, you know, I start leveraging the expertise and opinions of other people. I'll give you an example, right? I'm going to a conference in Miami about a guy who is really doom and gloom about things, right? And I really, you know, I'm not thrilled about going to this conference or listening to a bunch of doom and gloom because I don't want to hear that, right? And that's a bias that I have, right? I tend to be a little bit more on the optimistic side. But as it comes to the business of wealth management, you know, I have to surround myself with people that oftentimes disagree with my own perspective. And, you know, let me give you a couple of examples of different type of biases. And these are not all inclusive, but this covers some of the major ones. So some of the biases that I see often in people is the first one is like overconfidence, right? So I remember when the market was, you know, at an all-time high, you know, and I was talking to a couple of different prospects. They'll sit there and tell me how, you know, how great of an investment this of an investment decisions they've made. Like, let me tell you about all these great decisions that I've made, right? So, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So he's coming to me, talking to me like, you know, he's made all these great investment decisions. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, that can turn into overconfidence. Another bias is, I think the term that they use in finance is called loss aversion. Or more commonly known as fear of loss. So essentially, you have a bias, and what you do is you stay away from opportunities because you're afraid to lose, and because you're afraid to lose, you don't play, you don't get involved in the game, and it's very difficult. It's actually impossible to win at investing if you're not investing. I mean, that's, you know, just speaks for itself. And I'll talk about another one here. It's called the status quo bias. Status quo bias is kind of like that set it and forget it mentality. Everything is going to work out. Everything is going to pan out. And I think that this is one of Wall Street's major biases, right? The status quo, everything's going to be fine. If you're invested for the long term, don't worry about it. Everything's going to come back. You know, you know, stay put. You know, it like stick to the status quo. If you don't stick to the status quo, you're wrong. And I think this is something that that we have to be aware of. We have to be aware of not only of these biases in the industry, but we also have to be aware of these biases in ourselves. Most importantly, in ourselves, because you know, there are many other biases, but these three are key, right? And what we need to do actually is, you know, to be able to combat some of these biases is we need to create a system of checkpoints. And these checkpoints are kind of like a benchmarks where you stress test what you think you know. And hopefully you have some sort of framework or structure within your environment where somebody can test your belief system, not because you want, not because you want to argue with somebody. Like a lot of times clients call me before they make a major purchase or they make a major decision. Hey, Joe, I want to run this by you. I said, okay, great. So they run it by me. I give them my opinion. A lot of times they don't do what I said, what I told them to do. And that's fine. That's fine. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's not like they have to do everything that I say. The majority of time people, you know, do what I suggest that they do. But sometimes I'll give them an opinion and then just say, well, look, Joe, you know, based on the information that I've evaluated, I think I still want to move forward with this. And then they decide to make whatever decision they're going to make. But the point is they have, this is the true advisor client type of relationship. And a lot of my clients count on me for this. And, you know, what this does is it gives us a lot of clarity. You know, it gives us a lot of clarity, develops some sort of process or a system for decision making. But it all starts with being aware, because the biggest problem with biases, in my perspective, especially when I'm like meeting clients for the first time, or I'm doing a review or a second opinion, it's that people are just unaware that they're biased. They're unaware. Like, you know, I just not too long ago, I had somebody who invested a lot of money in real estate, right? And because he's familiar with real estate, I mean, this guy had like $1 million in investments, and he's like panicked when the market started to freak out. And then he's like, I'm going to sell all my investments and buy real estate. That's a perfect example of someone who is looking at the world through a significant bias, right? He's focusing on just one angle of things, and the loss aversion and the fear is creating a situation in which he's being triggered to do something that maybe later on he's going to regret. And you know, let me say something too about this, because, you know, I was thinking about marketing, right? And I'm taking, I'm actually a marketing major, a business and marketing major, right? And then, you know, when you talk about marketing, you talk about consumer behavior. And it dawned upon me as I was studying this topic that a lot of marketers, that's what they market to. They market to your bias, because in your bias is where your logic and your proper thinking, it's not working properly. It's not working properly. Like, it's broken. So it's like you have a mental blank spot, and marketers have become so good at this that this is what they talk to you about. They talk to you about your pain points, and they keep talking about the pain and the pain on your blind spots. And this is why, you know, a lot of times people make big mistakes with, you know, with these during volatile times. You start to see advertisements, you know, the world's coming to an end. I remember, I'll tell you this real quick. I remember when Obama was coming in office. Okay, by the way, this is not a political statement, okay? This is just, and by the way, you could apply this just to about anybody. But there was so much fear when he came on to become president. It was incredible. And you know what's crazy? A lot of people were scared when Obama became president. And then equally, a lot of people were scared when Trump became president, right? So just to give you an example. But I remember watching these ads on TV, and it was just like, you know, the world's coming to an end. This is what you need to do. Call this number. And then one day, you know, I called the number just to see what was going on. And I'm like, man, let me see what these guys are talking about. And it was like, take all your money out and buy gold, right? Like, sell everything, buy gold. And I remember these guys were talking about, you know, selling your retirement accounts and everything and buying gold. And that's fear mongering. And it works, you know, because they're talking to your bias. They're talking to your loss aversion. They're talking to your fears. And if we don't know our bias, how can we possibly plan for them? You know, and it's difficult to plan for your own bias. So if you have your own biases, it's very difficult, you know. And a lot of times, you know, I've spoken to other advisors over the years, trained many of them in my career. And I was talking to this guy the other day, and I told him that, you know, I have my own independent research that I pay for. I pay quite a bit of money for this research. And he said, man, why do you pay for all that research when we got all that research for free? And he just didn't get it. He didn't get it because you know, we got, you know, because we have multiple custodians, you know, I have full access to like Charles Schwab, Raymond James, TD Ameritrade, Interactive Brokers. So there is a ton of research. But at the end of the day, what I've learned over the years is when you start to kind of put it all together as it relates to Wall Street, a lot of them are saying the exact same thing. So this guy did not get it, right? That my research is essentially a weapon to combat some of the biases in the industry. So what we need to do is create a decision-making matrix, right? Create a structure how we make decisions and make sure that we have other people or we have data to support or back up the decisions that we make. And this is essentially how I use this particular research. You know, none of the major Wall Street firms predicted the financial crisis. Think about that for a minute. None of the major Wall Street firms predicted the financial crisis. Actually, I can argue and say that they were a lot of these financial pundits who are very famous on TV today that were telling people to buy, you know, investment firms and banks that went out of business. And I believe that this is because they suffer from the blind spot syndrome, you know, which is a form of bias. So, you know, one of the best ways to eliminate bias is to take yourself out of the decision making process. Like, okay, so even like you might be in a situation where you have a financial plan, or maybe you don't. Maybe you can afford to purchase your own independent research. Maybe you don't, whatever the case may be. But one of the things that I do is I look at the decision and I take myself out of the decision. And I've been thinking about this lately quite a bit. And this also has helped me, right? I always look at things like from a me angle and a we angle. So I look at me as a financial planner and I look at we as my clients, right? How are these decisions going to benefit or you know, how are they going to impact my clients? So not make it so much about me and what I think is right and what I think is wrong, but how are the benefits of my decisions or the consequences of my decisions? What is the worst thing that can happen? What is likely to happen? Best thing that can happen as it relates to impacting my clients? So taking myself out of the equation is incredibly, incredibly powerful when I'm testing my own assumptions. And I think, you know, to kind of wrap this up, you know, as it relates to applying this in my personal life is, you know, and I talked about this before, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. No question about it. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Surround yourself around people that are smarter than you. And when I say you, I mean, this is what I do, right? I try to surround myself around people that are smarter than me. And oftentimes I put myself around people that disagree with my worldview. And I do this on purpose. I do this on purpose so it can expand my perspective on the world. Listen, I have people, I have, you know, counselors, you know, like that I reach out to that are in different realms. Like, I got a spiritual counselor. You know, I got a, you know, business counselor. Like there's people that I reach out to and I tell them, look, this is where I'm at with this. This is what I'm thinking. And it's risky sometimes to tell people exactly what it is that you're thinking, or it's risky to tell people exactly what it is that you're scared of, or what it is, you know, maybe you're really excited about an opportunity and you're so excited, but you don't want to tell anybody about it because like your brain is obsessed with the idea of this idea working. Or maybe you're paranoid and petrified and you can't sleep because you're scared of something, right? And we don't want to tell people about that because our biases make us think in a weird way, like we should isolate and just kind of like get in a little corner and make our own decisions, you know? And, you know, and listen, there might be people that can get in a little corner, make their own decisions and make great decisions all the time, but the people that I study, the masters that I study in this field, and the path that I've taken is to surround myself with people that often, you know, headbutt me, that often collide with me, that disagree with me, that have a different opinion, a different perspective. And I think this is very useful as it relates to making good financial decisions. So, to wrap up, guys, main takeaway is I must assume that I am biased. I must assume that I am biased. This is one of the best pieces of advice that I can give you. You got to assume that you are biased. Once you're in that space, then you have the open mind to look at what those biases are. Does that make sense? But if you're arrogant and you're like, man, I know everything, you know, like in my work, right? A lot of times I know so much more than my clients. It's very easy to fall down that arrogance path, right? Got to be humble, assume that you're biased. So, you know, not for the sake of being right and wrong, right? Because in investing, sometimes you're going to get it right. Sometimes you're going to get it wrong. But the idea is to make the best possible decision given all the possible information that's available. Okay. So in my opinion, this has helped me tremendously, as it comes to, my decision, my critical thinking and my decision-making capabilities. So my friends, let me ask you this question today. How do you make investment decisions and how do you combat your own personal biases as it relates to your money? How do you make decisions and how do you combat your own personal biases as it relates to your money? My friends, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. I honor your commitment to expand your education. And as always, my friends, you can leave a comment on the podcast, leave a voice memo if you have a question. I read all the comments. I listen to all the comments, good, bad, or indifferent. Please get the word out. If you heard something here today, maybe you know somebody who's struggling with some biases in there. And they are they're in a weird spot and you know it. Make sure you share this podcast with them. You know, because, you know, the only way I can get the word out to the people that need it is with your help. But with that being said, guys, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Make it a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.